basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot, Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here is Durant moving on Tucker. He turns, he shoots. Yes! With 1 second remaining.
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Pick and Pod, the exclusive NBA podcast brought to you by WFUV Sports. I'm Ben Oppenheimer alongside my co-hosts Kurt Sipple and Thomas Tisdale. We're going to talk some Knicks, some Nets, some general NBA, kind of the state of both conferences, what teams are really ahead of the pack. But first of all, guys, it's great to be on with you. How are you guys doing?
I'm so hyped. I'm so excited. Brought out the fine china today, wearing the Bruce Brown Nets jersey, 75th anniversary. Things are looking up today. Got cold again. Very happy about that. I like the cold weather. Excited to be on a podcast with some great people. Talking NBA. It's my favorite time of year.
I am not enjoying the cold. I'm from Tennessee, and so like this kind of cold is like a new experience for me. But should be an exciting podcast, I'd say. We have a lot to talk about, especially with the New York teams and like how bad they've been. I was at the Celtics Nets game on Wednesday, and it was close for the first half, and then it just
should have been closer.
Yeah, it was just sad to watch.
What's the coldest it's gotten in Tennessee for you guys?
We got a good snow last year. Like in January, you got like maybe 6 inches, I think. So like, that's how
it
cold.
Definitely gets cold.
Gets cold, but it's not cold. November 15th. I wouldn't say it's this
right,
cold.
Right. But isn't November cold in New York almost like January cold?
Yeah,
in,
I would
in
say
Tennessee.
So. Yeah.
That's strange. That's what was it like in North Carolina, Ben, when you were up there?
Down there. It was kind of you would see like a 70, 75 degree day in January, like probably a couple times a month. So, you know, it was kind of crazy.
Little warm.
Yeah.
Like, that was the chilly weather. People were wearing jackets outside.
Yeah, but also, it was kind of like what Fizdale described. It was a little bit, like, variable. Like, it did snow once when I was down there. It snowed, like, 2 inches. But that was also because a cold front came in.
That's like when people forget how to drive and start crashing their cars with 2 inches of snow.
Yeah. South is, definitely balmy. In the winter and the spring in the South is great, you know. I know you know all about the South. Are you from Memphis, just outside of Memphis?
No, I'm from Knoxville, so like East
Knoxville.
Tennessee. So completely other side of the state from Memphis.
Do Knoxville people like not like Memphis people? Is there like a rivalry there?
Not necessarily a rivalry. I think Knoxville people just are objectively better than Memphis people.
Wow.
But we also don't have an NBA team to support. So we have like Hornets fans. We have Hawks fans, but like no one really supports the Grizzlies.
But you root for Memphis, right?
No, I'm a Knicks fan.
Oh, you're a Knicks.
So
okay, well, welcome to the club.
Strange.
Happy to be there.
I'll take all the support I can get. It's funny because when we first, I know we should get into this, but just to get back into the confusion, when I talked about Fizdale with you, I thought you liked Fizdale from his time with the Grizzlies, and I figured that's what you were talking about. But then when you said he was okay, you were talking about his time with the Knicks. So it makes sense that you're a Knicks fan. So welcome to the crew. Also, I like your watch there. Very nice.
Thank you.
Kind of modern, fancy Apple Watch or smart watch. Either way, looks very cool. But let's get into it. I'm excited to talk about the state of New York basketball. I know it's kind of been under expectations. I mean, it hasn't been disastrous. But the Knicks, let's talk about them first. 5-5 in their last 10. They just seem really up and down. Some games they look great. Some games they look like they have no cohesion whatsoever. Just to go through some of these games, you saw going back to season opener versus Boston, complete blowout from Boston. That was banner night. You had to kind of expect, you kind of had to see that was coming. But then you look at the games after that. They beat the Pacers in a blowout at home, but then they lost to the Cavs in a tough game that was only within 6 points. Then they beat the Heat on the road. then the Pistons on the road in the blowout, and then they lose to the Rockets in a game that didn't go their way. Then the Hawks, then they beat the Bucks, who are struggling right now. Then they lost the way to the Pacers. Then they beat the Sixers in the NBA Cup group stage. Then they lost the Bulls by one after Josh Hart's foul from the three-point line. And let me just say, guys, whenever you're in basketball, the biggest taboo for a college coach, an NBA coach, even a high school coach, or, you know, a middle school basketball coach. Yeah, youth league, do not foul from three. If you foul from three, every time I've seen the player foul from three, especially in college when I've watched games with Coach Ergo here with Florida men's basketball, you're immediately going to the bench. Yeah. Because it's the cardinal sin. Yeah, it's taboo. It's the most unnecessary thing ever. And Josh Hart did that. He has to be feeling terrible, because if he did not foul, I think the Knicks would have walked away with a win. But really, the bigger narrative is they've been so up and down. Sometimes I think, hey, this trade really looks like it's worked out. It looks like it's cohesive. It looks like Towns is exploding offensively. And then some games, it looks like they're out of sorts. They don't have good spacing. They don't have good chemistry. And I'm worried, because I'm leaning more towards the latter, in that they messed up what was good. The quote, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it wasn't broke, and yet the Knicks still tried to fix it. You know, I think everyone was caught by surprise when the Knicks were late September. It was actually like the day before my birthday, which is crazy.
What a birthday gift.
Yeah. So Randall obviously traded along with Dante DiVincenzo to the Minnesota Timberwolves in exchange for Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, I thought Randall, what he exemplified with New York was what he did for New York was incredible. You know, he went through some tough times with this team. He started out with the Knicks in 2019 after they whiffed on Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and Julius Randle was kind of the consolation prize, which everyone was joking about and thought that was funny. And then Randle really worked himself up to becoming almost the heart of this team.
Not almost the heart. And he was the heart of this team.
Yeah. And so I keep going, every time I'm on an NBA podcast, every time I'm on Pick and Pod, or I'm just talking next with people, I think about, go back to January 2024, when it was a healthy Julius Randle, it was Jalen Brunson, it was Josh Hart, it was Dante DiVincenzo, it was Isaiah Hartenstein, it was Precious Achiuwa, it was Mitchell Robinson. We had that January of this year. Then Randle went down because you had a certain guy on the Heat who is, you know, out of his mind and pulled them down, which I think was on purpose, but we'll leave that for another time. I still think we might not, for Knicks fans, for the Knicks as an organization, we may not see what we saw in that month of January, because that was incredible, because that was everyone healthy, and that was with all the pieces. And I think what happened is that started to be pulled apart a bit when Hartenstein left, which I thought was devastating. And then you add on to the fact that you lose depth from these trades, from Hartenstein leaving. And now you've got a team that's good on paper, obviously, but it's thinner. It's not as deep. It's not as potent as what I saw in January. And that's what I keep thinking about this team, and it's driving me crazy. Because
they're not as potent as they were in January.
Well, I'll leave it to you.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can't tell me, and this is the one thing I've been saying about a dozen times every time I talk about the Knicks. You're left without a bench, and you're playing a tight six-man rotation in the middle of November. You can't do that, and these guys look tired. Against the Bulls, they look tired. You can't play a back-to-back against the 76ers, who, one, weren't that great, but you still had to put a lot of effort into playing the 76ers. They're still a contender. I'm putting air quotes up. But you can't play over 40 minutes a game and expect and not have a bench and expect your starting five to be good in back-to-back situations or on road trips. These guys are playing so much basketball. And even if Tibbs saying that they have to go light on minutes, yada yada, they're playing light, they're doing lighter in practices, they're not doing as badly, not as hard work in practice. They're putting up light practices and playing hard in games. That's ridiculous. In the top 15 of NBA player, in the top 15 of most minutes per game, how many of them are New York Knicks? Three people are in the top 15 of minutes this year. Mikal Bridges is three in the NBA, and he hasn't even been good. And then you have Josh Hart, who's
the soul. But is that
through
the minutes?
That's minutes. Minutes per game.
I'm saying is Mikal Bridges not playing well because he's playing so much?
That's because his shot is whack for some reason right now. I don't know what's going on with him. He has some, like, something is up with the changing in his shot, and I don't think he thought he was going to have to score as much on this team, and now he's back in a big scoring role again. And then you also have OG Anunoby and Josh Hart, who are 14 and 15 respectively. This is all just wrapping up into the same Tibbs mantra, where I'm going to run these guys into the ground until the end of the playoffs, and then by the playoff time, we're going to run out of gas, and then we're going to lose to a play-in team. I don't know what else to say to this. I mean, there's a lot of faults to this New York Knicks team. There's a lot of things going wrong, in my opinion. And now you have to figure out, do we trade a guy like Mitchell Robinson, maybe, to get bench pieces? I've been saying that, but everyone looks at me like I'm crazy. Why not get a decent backup center for Mitchell Robinson, who, mind you, cannot play more than 10 game, not more than 30 games a season? Just, I don't get it.
Yeah, I would just add to that on paper, this Knicks team is much better than last year. You know, you add a scoring
on paper.
On paper, but there's just something, there's a vibe that's wrong in Madison Square Garden.
Right, because there's no chemistry. It's all gone.
Exactly. And you know, you can hope and you can pray that by the end of the season, by playoff time, that the chemistry will exist. But the starters are playing so many minutes that they're guaranteed to be injuries. You know, on the injury report for tonight's game, you know, Jalen Brunson is questionable.
Wait. Jalen Brunson's listed. I didn't even look at the injury report for tonight. Jalen Brunson's listed as questionable?
Carl Anthony Towns is questionable. Jalen Brunson is probable. He might be on a minutes restriction.
He's on an ankle. He hurt his ankle, right?
Yeah, he did. But you can hope and you can pray that the chemistry and just spending time together will eventually fix the problems with the Knicks. But there's just no depth. And the amount of minutes they're playing is just, their defense is suffering because of it. You know, they're 28th in one-on-one defense when they're supposed to have two all-star or like all-defensive level wings in OG and Mikal Bridges. And then and the 24th in rim protection. I mean, Cat's defense is poor and he's making up with it with his offense. But Cat is just not a high enough level defender to sort of make up for any deficiencies or any sort of blow-bys that may happen when the Knicks play basketball. So just to sum everything up, I mean, just the Knicks need to find depth somewhere, whether that's an internal organization thing, whether Campaign needs to start playing some more minutes.
He is playing and he's scoring, but the minutes don't look like anything.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, they have two injuries in Mitchell Robinson and Precious Achiuwa, but when they come back, is that going to solve all the problems? I mean, it's hard to say that
you get back Mitchell Robinson, you get back Precious Achiuwa, but then you can lose Jalen Brunson and Cat. Those are two very extreme examples. But also, can I just read a stat for you guys really quick? Carl Anthony Towns is allowing opponents 94% shooting in the restricted area. You traded for him to be a center. You traded a big future for him. You traded again. You traded your franchise guy. And you traded a fan favorite for him.
Yeah.
And you traded him for to be a big center, of the best stretch center that you've had since Porzingis. And he can't play defense. He lets everyone roll into the painted area.
I think you're preaching to the choir here, Kurt. I have regrets because, you know, talking briefly, I know vibes are not the same as hard data, which Kurt is bringing, and credit to Kurt on that. But when I look at the vibes of this team, go back to last season, think about how many wins with a banged up lineup were just hard fought because they just willed themselves to win.
They don't have that.
I don't know if they.
Karl-Anthony Towns isn't that type of guy.
Yeah, I agree. I unfortunately agree, and I don't know. I don't know what this looks like because now the future is.
Future's in Brooklyn's hands, actually.
No, it's not. Oh, all right. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Six picks for a guy that can't score more than 12 points a game.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, that's a little extreme.
All right. But I think if the Knicks regressed from last year significantly, which I'm afraid even when everyone gets fully healthy, they may have, that's a bad sign for this franchise. It's one step forward, two steps back. And, you know, I go back to 2 years ago when it was in the 22-23 season, when it was, that was before Ananobi, that was when they still had RJ Barrett and Obi Toppin. That was a deep lineup. And even last year was a relatively deep lineup. That's gone now. So we are kind of in uncharted territory as to where this season is going to go. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm also just mentioning I will be at the Knicks-Nets game, beat reporting for it on Sunday, November 17th, which should be very exciting. And I know Kurt's hoping for an upset victory in that one. And our very own Owen Kelty, our other Knicks beat reporter, will be there tonight for Knicks-Nets NBA Cup at MSG as well. So that'll be some great coverage. But let's talk about the Nets, or if you want to say something.
Well,
Kurt,
I just had one question for you, Ben. Since you're around this team, before we get to Brooklyn, since you're around this team so often, and like you know, like you see these guys in a more up close personal way than we do as fans. What is the vibe like in the locker room or like at press conferences right now?
Well, I'll just comment on the press conferences. I think Thibodeau is certainly kind of
more stressed than usual.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because when I had the privilege to cover Knicks Media Day back in late September, Tibbs is like the most calm and relaxed I'd ever seen him, and his voice was actually like not raspy and deep, because usually we need to work
it's
on
after
the
it's after the screaming.
Yeah. But like at Media Day, he was like, you know, it's a little bit higher, like kind of, it was like the highest you could like imagine it. Like it was kind of like serene and calm. So I thought that was funny. But then you get into the hardships of the season, and I think, he's feeling like this team is going through growing pains and lots of adjustments need to be made. You know, I still think he's a perfect leader for this team. I think one of the best things that James Dolan and really the people higher up in this organization have done is hire Tom Thibodeau back in 2020, because he's really set a culture.
I don't know about being the perfect leader for the Knicks. No, I disagree.
He's built. He's built for this job. He's built for
he's
New
built,
York.
He's built to drag players into the ground.
No,
and then,
no. We're
oh
not,
yeah, but that's what well, we're that's seeing
a,
already.
No, that's a tired, tired
it's
narrative.
It's not a tired
but,
narrative.
But
the narrative exists because for a reason.
But we also have a limited lineup because Precious Achiuwa and Mitchell Robinson are out, and Mitchell Robinson is out because Joel Embiid tripped him in the playoffs.
You
back
also
in April.
Had a you also had an injured Jalen Brunson that entire series too because of just overplaying him.
Well, because we had to win games, the whole roster was banged up because we had.
Why is the whole roster banged up?
Because you had.
Why is the
had,
whole roster
you had,
with a tight
okay.
six man rotation
right,
banged up?
Because we had a player on the Heat who wanted to be a wise guy and literally tried to pull Julius Randle's arm off.
Okay.
OG Anunoby has always been a bit fragile. It has not
so
been a thing.
So running
with Tom
him
Thibodeau.
40 minutes a game is it,
we were,
really
all
helps
right,
him not
look,
be fragile.
Look at his average for minutes last year.
I just told you he's up to 15th in the NBA.
I'm talking about last year for OG, but even this year we're still early into the season where we
can't even sign a 15th man.
We can't judge on minutes per game averages yet. And we'll talk about that by the All-Star break, looking at minutes per game, and then we can talk about who's being overplayed, who's being overrun. But the culture, going back to what I'm saying, the culture with Tom Thibodeau has been incredible. He is the best Knicks coach in my lifetime. I think Fizdale over here would agree with me. And he's a major upgrade, no offense, Thomas, from Fizdale. I mean, I just, you know, that's ending Knicks on a positive note before anyone else wants to add a comment. I know Kurt already mentioned. Tom Thibodeau is the perfect guy to lead this team. I would not in any circumstance want to see his job in jeopardy. I think he's a perfect leader.
I mean, we're only 11 games into the season, so we can't overreact with anything. And also the Eastern Conference as a whole has been incredibly poor. So there's definitely room for improvement, and the Knicks will find ways to get wins. I'm not concerned about making the playoffs. Maybe they won't be the 2 seed as expected, just because of how good the Cavs and the Celtics have been. But I think the main thing that is concerning about the Knicks is just the injuries that could potentially pile up by the time we get to playoff season. We see it with what the Cavs are doing with Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he's only playing 30 minutes a game, and they're finding ways to win games. So I think it's
because they're well built and they don't have to drag their starting five into the ground.
Yeah, so I think the Knicks are going to definitely have to make moves, maybe trading a Mitchell Robinson, like Kurt mentioned, away just to get some bench assets. I think is going to have to happen at some point.
That's, I think, the only move that you make right now. You trade Mitchell Robinson, hopefully, I don't even know if he has value anymore. Does he have anything left, you think?
He's great when he's on the floor.
Well, woulda, shoulda, coulda. But I'm just saying, does he have anything left in trade value? I'm not saying in the tank, just trade value-wise.
I think he's got something.
You think you can get, two decent role players for him?
Yeah, I think so. But also, I think teams would have to look at his medical and see if they're okay with what they're signing on to. I mean, there's plenty of injury-prone players that teams still go after and still like. I'm still upset about Isaiah Hartenstein leaving, man. For me, it's like it just shows the greed of the average NBA player.
Oh,
where
no.
it's like 3 years.
You deserve to get paid.
Where it's like 3 years at $72 million was not enough for you. You had to do 4 years at what, $78 million with the Thunder.
Yeah,
and the
Thunder deserves to get paid.
The Thunder, like, who wants to live in Oklahoma City?
He wants to live in Oklahoma City.
Well, that's his mistake. That's his loss.
Maybe he has family there. How do you know?
Yeah, Isaiah Hartenstein has German guy, has family in Oklahoma City.
That's not that crazy. I mean, I'm sure there's German immigrants out there. It's like saying, in Milwaukee, there's a bunch of German people there.
That's true.
So,
true.
Midwest, you know?
Yeah. No, Midwest is a different vibe. But let's try to get over to Brooklyn here, because I know you want to fawn over them.
Brooklyn. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. I just had to get that out.
Of course you did. The Nets, I would say, have been playing above expectations. I mean, people thought this would be a straight rebuilding year. Maybe you didn't, Kurt.
I knew it wasn't.
But they're 5-7, and they're staying competitive in a lot of these games. You know, they beat the Bucks. I know the Bucks are not good, but they still kind of decisively beat the Bucks, 115-102. And then they kept it close with the Nuggets in OT.
Those games they should have won.
Yeah.
Nuggets, they should have won. They should have beat the Cavaliers, and they should have beat the Celtics. It's just that they can't close out games. I don't know what's going on with that.
What do you think? It's because they're a young team?
Maybe. I don't know if it's about the young people on the team, because you got a lot of vets on the roster that know what they're doing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the schemes. You can't figure it out. Also, these teams are really good. I mean, you held your own against the Celtics the first time you played them, the Friday game. On November 8th, you played them at home till OT. You led that game also for, I think, majority of it, too, which was ridiculous. You came back, led the Cavaliers by 15, I think. You let them come back for whatever reason, and they win by 5. I mean, there's just little errors that keep getting made, and I don't know if it is because they're a young team. I mean, Oklahoma City, I know Angel really is fiending to talk about them, but they're a really young team too, and they don't make these kinds of errors. But I think so much credit has to be given to Jordy Fernandez, the Nets head coach, because he's the first head coach they've had in so long who's an actual head coach. It's like crazy to me to think that the coaching staff that Brooklyn had put together before this didn't have, like, they didn't know what they were doing at all. I don't even think they were drawing plays. I don't know what was going on. Because, like, you could see the difference in a well-coached basketball team, credit to Jordy Fernandez, who's willing them to get, like, their lineups that they're throwing out there, all of that, putting together pieces that make sense, playing tough basketball. Like tonight, for example, Nick Claxton's out of the game, which is going to be really detrimental to them if Cat plays. But if Cat's playing, I think the Nets can still hold their own against their center, because they have the ability to throw defense at them, and that's what's keeping them in games, is playing tough defense. It's actually quite like the Knicks 2 years ago when they made the playoffs, that 2021-22 Knicks squad?
No, 22, or are you talking about the first?
I'm talking about the first Julius Randle All-Star.
20-21.
Yeah, so yeah. 2021 Knicks playoff Hawks lost team. That's how it feels right now for the Brooklyn Nets. It's like, it's really possible that they can give somebody an upset in the playoffs, and maybe they regress. I mean, on Nets Twitter, which is insane to me that people want them to lose. Why would you ever root for your basketball team to lose, or just any sports team to lose? It's ridiculous to me. Why watch sports? But I personally think that I'm really excited for just the future of this franchise, one, because you have so much to look forward to right now. You have Cam Thomas, who is a budding star, if not already a star, like not even budding, he's just a star, period. And you have a lot of pieces. I mean, you have Nick Claxton, who's a all-star caliber center this season. You have, now I'm forgetting people on the Nets roster. I'm faulty. But there's just so many guys. Like, Dorian Finney-Smith has taken a step up. Cam Johnson has taken a step up. I don't know. Like, right now it looks like the Knicks traded for the wrong twin, right, in trading for Bridges instead of Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson's been awesome. I don't know. I might be salivating over this team for a little too much, but I really think I was so excited for the things I've watched, especially when people are like, why are you excited about watching the Nets? They're going to be bad. They're going to be equal to the Pistons. They're not. They're really exciting.
Yeah, I would just say, like, the Nets coming, like, expectations coming into the season is that they were going to be worse than the Nets. You know, you look at the roster and, you know, none of the names sort of jump out at you. I mean, Cam Thomas is the closest thing you have to a superstar on that team. But yet you have a bunch of players that are capable of great games. You know, I was at the game on Wednesday, and Zaire Williams had 23 points against the Celtics.
He killed the Memphis Grizzlies that game when he had his comeback game, too. He's really good.
Yeah, and sometimes the players will have just sort of lackluster games. I know he had 0 points against the Cavs, and so
it's true.
It's just the Nets need to find some consistency in the players, and that will come with time and just development. They're 5-7, that they're eighth in the East, and so with the East being so wide open this year, I think there's a possibility that they get a good seed in the playoffs, they even make the playoffs. But the only issue is that you have the Bucks and the Sixers behind you, who, I mean,
they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they will definitely make the playoffs, barring some, unless Giannis gets injured for the season, whatever. But I think there's an argument that Nets are in a bit of a limbo here. You know, with how good the Celtics and the Cavs are right now, are the Nets gonna make it to the NBA Finals?
No.
Definitely not.
No,
but playing.
I think playing. I'm excited. I'm happy about playing. Like, am I not?
I mean, that's above expectations.
Like,
I'm like,
you know what? I'm also happy about that. The spotlight is off of them. I think that was another thing that, like, really hurt this team so much, and I think might be hurting the Knicks a little bit, is that the spotlight is on you at 24 hours a day, and you're in the headlines in every headline. If the New York Post sports section doesn't have anything to report on, they're putting Karl Anthony Towns or Jalen Brunson on the back of the paper. That's just what's going to happen. But there's something brewing in Brooklyn right now, and that makes me just so excited to be a Nets fan and so excited for the future of this franchise, while not only being future of the entire thing, but just like the future now. What does this season hold for them? Because there's even, like, when you were talking about Ben Simmons has been pretty good. He had 12 assists, I think, in 24 minutes or something ridiculous like that when they played the Celtics. He was on some crazy stat line. Like, he's still, like, he might be mid, and he might not ever get back to Ben Simmons that we all knew. But, man, sorry, it was against the Pelicans he had the 12 assists. But, man, it is not easy to have 12 assists. And the passes that he is putting down on the court are some of the most ridiculous trick. It looks like trick plays that he's putting down. It shows his court vision and why he was a first round and why he was the number one pick.
Yeah, I'd just say, like, as an NBA fan, I really appreciate what the Brooklyn organization is doing. You know, they tried spending big in free agency, getting Kevin Durant, trading for James Harden and Kyrie Irving, but it didn't work out, and that's okay, and sometimes you have to live with that. But what they're trying to do now is a slow development of talent, and, you know, they got all their draft picks back so they can hopefully strike some gold in the draft. And I really appreciate that as an organization that recognized what went wrong with the Durant era Nets and is trying something new and something different and is having success with it. I mean, they're eighth in the East when they were supposed to be last in the East. So I really appreciate what they're trying to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for you, Kern. I know you don't share those same feelings.
I can't be excited to be for the Knicks.
Well,
you're
the biggest Knicks hater at this station, besides probably Chris Carino. He's probably number one. That guy's pathologically.
I'm also quite wired to not like the Knicks. I'm not gonna lie. There's a lot of issues I have with them.
Yeah.
Just the franchise in general. Listen.
What they tripped you on the sidewalk when you were a kid?
Yeah, they did. No, if I'm at a Knicks game, like, I'll sit there and I won't root against them. But, like, my first NBA game, I'll share this, was that 20... You remember when Julius Randle was getting chanted All-Star against that 2020-2021 when the MSG was being backfilled up a little bit more?
Yeah.
My first ever, like, basketball game I can remember was Knicks-Pistons that game with MSG practically empty. And one, that was insane to think about, that, like, MSG will never be that empty again. Two, like, I have some connection to the Knicks a little bit, but, man, there's just so much about them that I just can't enjoy watching Knicks basketball. Where I'm watching them play the Pacers, and I really want the Pacers to destroy.
Of course you do.
And it's not being a New York sports fan, because you're not a New York sports fan either, Ben, when it comes to, like, the Yankees. You're not a Nets fan either if you're watching the Nets play, are you? If you're watching the Nets play, if you're watching the Nets play,
you mean Mets?
Nets, N-E-T-S. If you're watching them play, are you rooting for them or against them?
I don't have a real hatred for the Nets. I kind of like them. I kind of think they're also irrelevant, and they don't really have much of a fan base. But
another crazy statement.
You know, they no one really goes to the games. But I don't hate the Nets, but you hate the Knicks. It's almost like the Mad Men meme. Have you ever seen that meme where this guy is like, "I feel bad for you," and then this guy from Mad Men is like, "I don't think about you at all." And that's the dynamic between Knicks and Nets fans.
Knicks fans definitely be thinking about the Nets a little
more
than you think.
No, I do not.
Kevin Durant, Kevin KD did not.
Okay,
KD
that,
and
that,
Kyrie didn't go to your team
that,
because you guys are bombs.
That I did think about.
I know you
then,
did.
But then now,
stayed up for that.
But
one.
Now looking back, I am glad that we did not get Kevin Durant and Kyrie. That would have toxified the whole organization.
Doesn't matter. Your whole organization is getting toxified now.
No,
no.
Even if the moves were maybe regrettable, Towns is still, he's so much more of a class act player than
Carl Anthony Towns is a class act player.
Much more than Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. 1,000 times.
I think he complains more than Kevin Durant ever did.
No, not
yes,
at
he
all.
Does.
Not at all. Have you Kevin Durant?
You seen what you saw
Kevin
what
Durant,
he did against the Timberwolves?
Kevin Durant should be
with
in
the
a,
Timberwolves. I'm sorry.
Hold on, Kurt. Kevin Durant should be in a drama play. Like, he is that much of a disruptor in the locker. Like,
I don't know about the locker room. I understand
his entire aura of being
a disruptor.
You don't remember,
but Carl Anthony Towns legitimately does complain about, like, how often he plays.
Kurt, you don't remember on the Warriors in 2018 before he left for Brooklyn when he got into a screaming match on the court with Draymond Green. You don't remember that? I was a senior in high school. I saw that.
It was the passion that they had.
No. All right.
That's what I heard.
Let's stop making excuses. But I want to talk briefly before we wrap this thing up. I want to talk about the state of both conferences at large. I think it's interesting when you look at the Eastern Conference. It's the Cavs and the Celtics. And then everyone else, the Magic are decent. Everyone else is under 500 in the East. It's the Cavs, the Celtics, Magic are okay, and then everyone else is kind of middling around. I think that's interesting. The Cavs are in a huge win streak right now. The 13-0, they haven't lost yet. But it kind of reminds me of last season where we saw these incredible win streaks, like 17-game win streaks from the Cavs, and it just didn't end up meaning anything at all. So I am unconvinced about the Cavaliers. I think they're regular season team. I also think the Knicks have their number, and you cannot deny that. I think the Knicks.
What happened when they played the Knicks?
They've lost.
The Cavs. I'm saying when they played the Knicks this season.
What happened? Obviously, it's different this season.
You just said they had their number and they got blown out.
They'll have their number until the Cavs beat the Knicks in the playoffs in the same way that the Knicks did. Or they blow them out in the regular season. And that was not a blowout that we saw against the Knicks. But the Cavs have been great so far. Credit to them. But I'm just not convinced. I think they might be too soft defensively. I mean, that's the reason that the Knicks beat them in the playoffs in the first place is the Cavs are just kind of soft.
I don't think the Cavs are soft.
Well,
I'm only saying that because like one, all those guys are a bunch of those dudes that are like really good right now. Former Nets, Kenny Atkinson, former Nets head coach. You have Jared Allen, the Nets drafted center, Caris LeVert as well. I mean, Jared Allen for one has been like the person that has been the guy that has been helping lead this Cavaliers team to wins as well. I think he's a really strong. I think he's a very, very, very strong center, and very, very like I think gives a lot of heart to this team. I don't know how you could say that.
Who are we talking?
Jared
about?
Allen.
Jared. Well, because he used to be on the Nets. That's why you're.
I know.
I know because I can watch.
Okay. I've watched him play.
I watch too, Kurt.
I've watched him play, and I know how much heart they play within Cleveland.
Kurt? I see soft.
I don't know how you can see soft when they're on a 13-game win
streak. That's what I see. I see Brody laughing in the back. Brody, if you want, just to talk about the West. Sorry to interrupt you, Kurt, but I do want to get into the West because the West is very interesting. It's a Wild West. Thunder, Brody's Thunder are leading with a 10-2 record. Brody, if you can speak on the mic, we want to hear your take on this Thunder team so far and how you think this season is going to end up going.
Well, you kind of get the same like vibe as last year. Like the team is low-key like developing, they're growing. They're still a young team. They were first in the West last year, and we take Hartenstein from you guys. Thank you very much for that. He hasn't played a minute yet for us. Now we're down Chet because of injury. So big man wise, we are struggling in that aspect. We have to go, small ball for quite a while, probably into the new year, actually.
Did you see the class act Chet had on Instagram after he got injured? The thing that he said, it was really actually.
You gotta remind me.
When he was like, there's people like actually injured, like more sick everywhere else than where I am right now.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that was cool.
I mean, he's just a class guy, you know? I mean, it was a freak injury. It wasn't anything. Like, when you fall on the floor like that, like, that's going to do something. But OKC is being led by the MVP right now. You know, Shai Gilgeous just throwing up numbers. Jalen Williams is acting like the number two right now, not just offensively, but as a defensive player as well. He's looking like a good two-way player for the team. He, to me, is the X factor for OKC to go any further in the playoffs than he did last year. And then once the, big men help come, once we get Jalen Williams back, the center, once we get Chet back, once we get Hartenstein back.
I don't think you're getting Chet back.
Yeah, Chet is coming back.
I don't know.
It's 6 to 8 weeks, man.
I don't know.
You got to realize it's the beginning of the season.
No, like, I know.
But there's a lot of time.
That injury looked really bad.
It looked bad, and I don't remember the exact term for it. I just know it was.
Wasn't it like pelvic?
It was something
like
crazy.
Fracture or something like that.
But it's still something where, like, by All-Star break, he should be good. And if you can get Chet, because he was throwing up amazing numbers to start off the year. Like, him and Shea were looking like a dominant 1-2 punch. If you can get him back, that's going to help OKC even further in the playoffs and just making it to the one seed again. I just think we have all the pieces to survive without Chet and without a true big man right now. I mean, I would love to, like, sign someone or anything, but we have so much depth, a bench that the Knicks don't have. We have a starting lineup that both your teams don't have. It's just an amazing time to be an OKC fan right now. And I couldn't ask for anything more. I'm not
the only
gonna
thing
lie.
You could ask for is Russell Westbrook back.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, he's flourishing in Denver right now. I've been watching a little bit of Denver basketball. I'm kind of happy for him right now. But I got to stay true to OKC. Like, what Shea's doing is just, like, that man is unguardable, low-key. Not even, like, high-key. He's, like, high-key unguardable. Like, do you see how these players try to defend the man and they just get put on skates night in and night out? Like, it's unbelievable at this point.
Well, thank you, Brody. We're not going to wrap things up just yet. I do want to ask the guys in the studio here one last thing before we finish this. Is Timberwolves are 500, lost 3 in a row. Mavericks are 5-7. They lost 4 in a row. Those are two teams that were a huge part of the Western Conference and two of the strongest teams in the West last year. I saw on Timberwolves Twitter that a lot of them were starting to blame Julius Randle, which I'm familiar with because a lot of Knicks fair weather fans would do that when they wouldn't be pleased with him, which
it's
I think was terrible. I don't know why Knicks giving me a look up there. Nick Palmer in the back, hashtag Palmer report. He's maybe wants me to talk about the Lakers. Maybe that's why he's giving me a look. I think
Bronny James
sent me a text, or maybe he didn't. What do you guys what's the reason for the collapse with the Timberwolves and the Mavericks quickly?
I don't think it's a collapse.
Or
I think
not
it's
collapse.
I just think it's
downturn.
Early season woes, I guess if you could say that. Also, the Mavericks are like they're losing close games is one of their biggest issues. Like, you lose to the Jazz by 2. You lose to the Warriors by 3. You lose to the Nuggets by 2. You lose to the Suns by 1. I mean, you have a really well-built team in Dallas. I think Kyrie has added a lot of depth to your roster in general because that's just what he does. Sadly, he's not in Brooklyn anymore. Actually, I'm not that sad about that. But just in general, I just think that all of their games are just close and that they have to just figure out a way to get it done, if you get what I mean. That's for the Mavericks. For the Timberwolves, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out somehow. I mean, you can't lose to the Trailblazers, but you'll figure it out somehow.
I mean, the main part of it is just how competitive the West is right now. I mean, there will be stretches in games or stretches in the season where you will go 6-6 and you will go 5-7. And so I'd caution against overreacting and seeing that they're 11th and 12th. I have no doubt they'll make the playoffs or at least the play-in. I mean, the Mavericks, I mean, they have Luka, and barring some injury or whatever, I think Luka just finds a way to make the playoffs. And then the Timberwolves, I mean, you talk about Ant, you talk about Gobert. I mean, they have a roster to play some really good, solid defense, and for whatever reason right now, it's just not clicking. I mean, and you also see the teams ahead of them in the standings that they could jump above. I mean, the Clippers, 6-6, I mean, kind of unexpected considering Kawhi has been out. I mean, the Kings, I mean, also a solid roster. But, I mean, the Mavericks and the Timberwolves, there are teams that can jump of. And I'm not particularly concerned about how they've started the season. I'm more concerned about how they finish it.
Well, that'll just about do it. One last shout-out for Nick Palmer. I know he's from L.A. The Lakers are doing solid right now. And LeBron James, 39, going on 40 years old. He's been excellent. So I want to give Nick a shout-out there. But that'll just about do it for this week's edition of Pick and Pod. I'm Ben Oppenheimer, along with my co-hosts Kurt Sipple and Thomas Tisdale. It's been a great episode today, recording here on a Friday afternoon. And to all you who are listening, I hope you have a good one. And we'll see you back next week on Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Let's go, Nets!